Okay? Okay, this is the Father Heart TV live webcast, Wednesday the 7th of November 2018, and this evening I'm going to be talking on a childlike heart. I read some verses a few weeks ago in Proverbs chapter 3, verses 1 to 7, and I'd just like to read those out, and that's going to really be the starting point for where we're going for the rest of the evening. But Proverbs chapter 3, verses 1 to 7, it says, "My son, do not forget my teaching, but let your heart keep my commandments, for length of days and years of life and peace they will add to you. Do not let kindness and truth leave you. Bind them around your neck, write them on the tablet of your heart, so you will find favour and good repute in the sight of God and man. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Do not lean on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge him, and he will make your path straight. Do not be wise in your own eyes, but fear the Lord and turn from evil." And I guess we know those verses, we know them in part, but they're the sort of verses that I used to underline in my Bible. You know, as a young man, they are the sort of verses I would underline and then religiously try and keep. And of course, you know, I'm probably like most of you, I failed spectacularly. You know, I didn't end up keeping them. I tried really hard, and maybe, you know, for a while you could do it, but then after a while you kind of realize that you slipped again. But, you know, what we've got here in Proverbs, it's a father-son message. It's a father talking to his son, giving him some good advice, but also giving him a series of promises and blessings. You know, it's like, do not forget the teaching of your father and you will enjoy life. You know, be kind and truthful and you will find favor and good reputation. You know, trust in the Lord. Well, first of all, that implies trust in the Lord rather than trusting on yourself. You know, trust in the Lord and he will lead you rightly. You know, don't seek your own definition of wisdom, but rely on him. You know, there's a series of sort of promises and blessings that, you know, Solomon is writing about here in this father-son interaction. And you know, I really want to ask the question this evening, you know, how can we do that? How can we live up to the verses that we've just read together from Proverbs? Because like I said, you know, these are the sorts of things I would often underline in my Bible years ago and, you know, try to do my best at, but end up, you know, giving up, failing or whatever. But yet, they're clearly promises with blessings attached. They, you know, they're clearly, you know, a father's good counsel to his son. And, you know, the problem is, I think in those verses we see, it says, you know, do not lean on your own understanding. And I think that's the problem. That's where we've failed, because we've tried to do it by leaning on our own understanding. We kind of read something like that in the Bible and we think, that's good. You know, I really want to do that. And then we immediately try and implement it or apply it, but from the basis of our own understanding. And, you know, here is Solomon's counsel. You know, trust in the Lord. Do not lean on your own understanding. And what do most of us go and do? We go and lean on our own understanding. And you know what? It often works in part. You know, it satisfies in part. It answers the questions in our heart in part. You know, it brings fulfillment in part. And The problem is we don't realise that we've actually settled for something that's incomplete. You know, we don't realize we've settled for something less than was meant for us, because we don't realize there's something greater. You know, we settle for the incompleteness, thinking it is complete. And it's only as we discover, it's only as we see with the eyes of our heart that there is something more, it's only then that we begin to realize that we've settled for the incomplete or the in part. And we've lent on our own understanding, we've relied on our own abilities. We feel like it works, but we don't know there's something bigger and better until the eyes of our heart are opened. And it's as the eyes of our heart are opened, we can begin to see and therefore begin to experience the fullness of all that he wants to do for us. You know, what we end up doing is we settle for what may be good, but it may not be the best, because we don't know there's something better out there. And that's why we're on a journey. We only discover there's something better once we've discovered it. You know, you can be content with what you've got, you can be content with how your life is, but there's always more. And we only discover there's more as we discover there's more. And that's why we're on this journey. That's why there's a long, you know, as the eyes of our heart are open, there's a longing inside of us to always have more of the life that the Father is promising us. And so, you know, I want to take these verses in Proverbs just as a starting point, really. You know, here is the encouragement: do not forget my teaching. And so we kind of think, yeah, I don't want to forget it. I really want to get hold of this. And somehow we can't sort of sustain it. And we just settle for what we become comfortable with. And what I want to do is really just encourage us this evening to see how those words in Proverbs, how they can become a reality in our lives. Because I believe that anything in the scriptures that's there, it's got to be attainable for us. It's not meant to be discouraging. It's not meant to be there as something to show us our failings and to show us how we just can never reach the standard. You know, I believe that everything that's written in the scriptures is attainable for us. See, when we get to heaven, you know, we won't need the Bible, because we will be perfected and we will be living in that environment of perfect love. So the scriptures are for us now, and I don't believe that they are beyond us, but I believe that somehow it's possible for us to take hold of it and make it part of our lives. And so these verses in Proverbs, you know, however impossible they might feel to us, they have to be practically possible. They have to be attainable. And I want to look at how it is possible for this challenge or this exhortation that Solomon is talking about, how that can become a reality in our hearts. And I want to do so by starting by looking at the life of Jesus. And when Jesus went to the temple as a 12-year-old boy, you remember the story, of course. You know, Joseph and Mary have been up to Jerusalem, they've had the festival, they started going home, and after a day they realize that they've not got Jesus with them. So they turn around, they go back, they hunt through Jerusalem, and eventually, after 3 days looking for him, they go into the temple, and they find Jesus there, sitting there with all of the teachers of the law. And, you know, you can just imagine all of these teachers sitting in a circle with this little 12-year-old boy. And what we read in Luke chapter 2 is, it says, after 3 days they found him in the temple, sitting in the midst of the teachers, both listening to them and asking them questions. And all who heard him were amazed at his understanding and his answers. You know, first of all, it says he's listening to them and asking them questions. But then it says, you know, Jesus is actually answering the questions of the teachers. You know, they're obviously coming back to him. They've seen something in this 12-year-old boy. The way he's asking them questions, it leads them to ask questions. And Jesus is giving them answers. And everybody who's listening to him is amazed at his understanding and his answers. Well, you know, of course, he's the Son of God, but here he is as a 12-year-old boy, in a very simple, in a very childlike way, he's just sitting with these people, and the teachers are the ones asking this 12-year-old boy the question. And Jesus, just in a childlike simplicity, is answering them, and they are just amazed at what he's saying. And it, you know, in one level it's understandable, because we know that Jesus is the Son of God. But of course, you know, these teachers, these leaders, they didn't know that. They just got a 12-year-old kid who seems to know something more than they know. And, you know, Mary and Joseph come in, they find him there, they see what's going on, and they start to say, come on, son, you need to come home with us. And Jesus says, you know, didn't you know this is where I had to be? You know, childlike simplicity, 12-year-old boy, didn't you know I had to be in my father's house doing my father's business? The most natural thing for this 12-year-old boy, who was the Son of God, the most natural thing was for him to be in his father's house doing his father's work. And we read in Luke's gospel that Joseph and Mary didn't get it. And so Jesus submitted himself to them and went back home with them. You know, just a childlike simplicity of, this is the way it is and this is what I need to do. And so, you know, he goes back home with them. Now, the thing about Jesus is that childlike heart that he had as a 12-year-old boy, that childlike simplicity of, didn't you know I had to be doing my father's work? Didn't you know I had to be in my father's house? That childlike simplicity stayed with him for the rest of his life. Why? Because that's how he'd always lived. In all of eternity, you know, he'd lived as the Son of God, but he'd lived with that childlike simplicity and dependence on his father. And, you know, that didn't change at all throughout the whole of his life. He just kept living that way. You know, if we go on towards the end of his life, when he's in that time of public ministry, in Matthew chapter 11, 25 and 26, Jesus says, I praise you, Father, Lord of heaven and earth, that you've hidden these things from the wise and intelligent, and you've revealed them to infants. Yes, Father, this way was well-pleasing in your sight. You know, everything that Jesus is referring to in that statement, you know, all of these things that Jesus is talking about, all of the things that are hidden from the wise and learned, Jesus says, are revealed to infants. But think about that for a moment. All of the things that Jesus has been talking about have been revealed to him. You know, he's seen them, he's understood them, he's received it as revelation from his father. And he said, you know, Father, you hide these things from the wise and the intelligent, but you reveal them to little children. So all of these things that Jesus is talking about here have been revealed to him, not because he's wise and learned, but because he's got a childlike heart. You know, if Jesus was wise and learned, he wouldn't have been able to reveal all of those things to his disciples and to the crowds that were following him around. But it's because he had that, he'd maintained, he'd kept that childlike heart. He can say, you know, Father, thank you that you've revealed these things to me, and I want to reveal them to anybody who's got a childlike heart, who comes in that simplicity. See, what applies to Jesus applies to us as well. For Jesus to understand the secrets of the kingdom, he had to have a childlike heart. For us to understand the secrets of the kingdom, we have to have a childlike heart. You know, I remember hearing somebody say once that the kingdom of God is like a bar of soap. You kind of feel you've caught it and then it slips out of your hand. And I thought about that and I thought, yeah, that's exactly what it's like if you're wise and learned. You know, you feel you got hold of something and then suddenly you realize it's not quite how you thought. But I think actually, you know, the kingdom of God, the kingdom of heaven can be fully grasped, can be fully understood by those with a childlike heart, because that's the message that Jesus brings to us throughout the Gospels. You know, the kingdom of heaven belongs to such as these, he said, taking a little child, the kingdom of heaven belongs to these. See, I think for us to understand the kingdom of heaven, we have to come with a childlike heart. And if we're not understanding it, or we're not understanding it fully, then there's more of that childlikeness that needs to just take a root in our heart. See, the Father has hidden the revelation of his kingdom from the wise and learned. And he's revealed the revelation of his kingdom to those with a childlike heart, to little children. And my encouragement is, you know, for us to really understand what the kingdom is all about, for us to understand even these verses that we read in Proverbs a few moments ago, the key for us is to become like Jesus, is to have that childlike heart and that simplicity, that vulnerability, that dependence, that trust, that innocence, because that will enable us to receive in our hearts this amazing revelation. You see, when we talk about the kingdom of heaven, when we talk about the kingdom of God, we're really talking about a kingdom of love, because God is love. So the kingdom of God is the kingdom of love. And, you know, that's really the simplicity of it. You know, it's the law of love rather than loving the law. And it's as we talked about a few weeks ago, it's earnestly, you know, it's pursuing love. It's making love our greatest aim. It's living in love. It's allowing ourselves to constantly receive the love of the Father being poured into our hearts. It's constantly walking in that vulnerability of allowing God to be a Father to us. And it's just constantly being aware of shedding the sophistication that we wrap around ourselves that destroy that dependence, that vulnerability, that innocence. But as we live with a childlike heart, as we go deeper into a childlike heart, so we will begin to not only understand the kingdom of heaven, but live in the kingdom of heaven, because it's actually a kingdom of love. I don't actually believe we're just meant to understand the kingdom of heaven. I believe we're meant to live in the kingdom of heaven, because it's living in love. And so Jesus said, you know, you've hidden these things from the wise and learned. You've revealed them to little children because that was your good pleasure. You know, I can kind of imagine Jesus chuckling, you know, Father, you just love doing this, you know. And then in verse 27 of Matthew 11, Jesus says, all things have been given to me by my Father. You see, all these things have been hidden from the wise and learned, but all these things have been handed over to him by his Father. And he says, no one knows the Son except the Father. No one knows the Father except the Son, and anyone to whom the Son chooses to reveal him. See, all of this stuff that Jesus is talking about is, it's a revelation of the kingdom of love. And Jesus is saying, you know, I want to reveal that to you. You know, I want to show you this kingdom of love, this kingdom of heaven is actually all about knowing the Father. You know, no one knows the Father except the Son. And I want to reveal him to you, so that you too can receive this revelation of what the kingdom is all about. But the key is having a childlike heart. If we wrap ourselves up in sophistication and grown-upness, we will miss it. We will miss it big time. But when we let that sophistications be stripped away and just come back to the basic essentials of being a little child who needs to be loved, a little child with a big dad, we can step right into this amazing kingdom of love, which Jesus is revealing to us and is longing to reveal to us. But the key is for the eyes of our heart to be opened so that we see this with our heart, not with our mind. You know, it struck me the other day, we had our daughter and my grandson up for the weekend, and it just struck me again, just watching them and watching little Asher, it just struck me how much a little child lives in the relationship with his parents. You know, he's not a little child is so involved in that relationship. It's like they can't do anything. They need to be picked up, they need to be carried, they need to be fed, they need to be changed. You know, they don't have any words, so their communication is just through crying and other noises. And they are totally, totally immersed in that relationship. They're not a spectator in any way. You know, they're really living that relationship. And they just struck me again, the simplicity of living in that relationship. You know, there were no requirements, there were no expectations. Little Asher just lived in that relationship with his mum. And it was just a joy to watch. But it struck me that, you know, the question that went through my mind was, do I live in that relationship with my Heavenly Father in the same way that little Asher lives in the relationship with his mum and with his dad? Do I live in that relationship with the Father? Or am I kind of a little bit distant and looking on at something, spectating, rather than participating? See, a childlike heart, it draws us into the relationship so that it becomes experiential. It stops being conceptual, it stops being theological, it stops being theoretical, but it becomes experience, it becomes something we experience because we're living in it. And you see, for me, you know, as I said at the beginning, those verses in Proverbs, you know, I used to underline them, and then I realized, like, just give up, because they're just unattainable. But actually they are attainable, and the key for us to attain all of those things that we read about is for us to have the childlike heart that lives in a relationship with our Father and that allows him to steer our lives and show us the path to walk, and, you know, allow him to guide us rather than walking off in that independence that we are so good at. See, it's a childlike heart that lives in, it's a child that lives in a relationship. And as we have a childlike heart, so we will live in the relationship with our Father. See, to know the Father is to know him as Jesus knew him, which was a natural, life-giving relationship. And the thing we see about Jesus, when he lived in that relationship with his Father, as he lived in that relationship with his Father, he lived a life of rest. And it's that life of rest that he invites us into. Matthew 11:28-30 says, "Come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, I will give you rest. You know, take my yoke upon you, learn from me." You know, basically saying, walk as I walk, live as I live, and you will find that you have rest for your souls. And that's something I really believe that we seek for. It's something we desire. It's the cry of our hearts, but it often eludes us. We just can't get it. And the reason we don't have that life of rest is because we haven't come to that place of total submission to a childlike heart. And there's something that's, you know, the more we come to that place of childlikeness, the less striving there will be inside of us. You know, the further away we are from that, if you like, there's a greater level of striving that's pushing us all the time that prevents us from living the life of rest that we are promised. And it's as we live in the childlike simplicity that our hearts will come to rest. See, this is the only thing that Jesus offered. You know, the only thing he offered was a relationship with the Father in exactly the same way as he was in relationship with the Father. And that's sonship. You know, what Jesus offers us is sonship in exactly the same way as he experienced sonship. Everything about the life of Jesus, the way he lived his life in union and communion with his Father, is basically the gift that he offers to us. And, you know, the doorway for us is the same as the doorway for Jesus. It's that childlike simplicity and dependence on him. See, the kingdom is not built through striving or performance, but the kingdom of God, the kingdom of heaven, is built through rest and love. And that takes all the pressure away. Because actually, it's when we live like that, a life of rest and a life of love, it's taken everything of me out of the way, and it becomes about me receiving the life that he is pouring into my heart, rather than me trying constantly to climb up this slippery pole of good works and good behavior, trying to please him. But when we live in relationship with him as Jesus lives in relationship with him, then the striving and performance stops. Okay, I hear you say, how do we enter this kingdom of love? You know, how do we get this childlike heart? Well, we get another key in Matthew chapter 18, the first six verses. The disciples came to Jesus and said, who is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven? You know, you can imagine the competition that's going on in those guys. But Jesus, what he does is he takes a child and he sets the child before him. He says, truly I say to you, unless you are converted and become like children, you will not enter the kingdom of heaven. Whoever humbles himself as this child, he is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven. Whoever receives a child in my name receives me. But whoever causes one of these little ones who believe in me to stumble, it would be better for him to have a millstone thrown around his neck and drowned in the sea. Jesus says here, if you want to enter the kingdom of God, you've got to do two things. The first thing is you've got to have a conversion experience. You know, when we're born again, we're converted. And when we're born again, it's like we have a complete turnaround. You know, we're walking in one direction and we suddenly go in the other direction. You know, our conversion when we're born again, it's a radical change of direction. You know, I became a Christian at the age of 10 and it didn't feel like a radical turnaround. But actually in the spirit, in terms of my eternal destiny, you know, that Friday night as a 10-year-old boy, I had a radical turnaround. And it's the same, whatever your conversion experience is, when you're born again, you go through a radical transformation, a radical turnaround. And Jesus is saying, you need to have another conversion. You know, you're walking in one direction. And he's saying, this isn't a little shift in direction. It's not a little veering off to the side. Jesus says, you've got to be converted. You've got to turn right around. The word that's used in that passage in Matthew for conversion, it is a complete turnaround. It's 180 degrees. It's choosing to walk in completely the other direction. See, most of us, our Christian journey is the journey of striving and performance. And it's a journey of trying to please God or to trying to justify ourselves through our right behavior or our right activities. But, you know, Jesus says, no, that's not the way it is. You've got to go through this complete turnaround and you've got to, instead of walking in your own strength, you've got to walk in my strength. You've got to let go of yourself. You've got to become like a child. You know, I really believe that the conversion that Jesus is talking about in Matthew 18 is as radical as the conversion we went through when we were born again. It's a 180 degree turnaround and it's going in completely the other direction. So the first thing Jesus says, if you want this childlike heart, you've got to be prepared to make a change. It's a big change. You've got to stop your performing. You've got to stop your striving, and you've got to turn around and walk in love. You know, allowing yourself to be loved, allowing yourself to receive the downward flow of life into our hearts. And that's the key to entering the kingdom of heaven, is that radical conversion. The second thing that we see in the passage is Jesus says, unless you are converted, unless you change. And the second thing he says, humble yourself. Now, humility often, you know, our concept, our understanding of humility is very often, you know, woe is me, or, you know, having a low opinion of ourselves and, you know, being very negative about ourselves and pushing ourselves down and, you know, really just not valuing ourselves in any way. But I don't think that's the humility that Jesus is talking about. Yeah, sure, humility is letting go of ourselves, but it's not pushing ourselves down. It's letting go of ourselves and becoming more like Jesus. It's letting go of our skills, our abilities, our gifts and our calling, and it's just to begin to live a life of seeing what the Father is doing and just following along with that. You know, and I think sometimes this pathway of humility is not easy for us, because it comes against so much of what we have made ourselves to be. And it's like we do want to make ourselves look good. We're taught to do the best we can. We're taught to live a good life, and you know, that often ends up, you know, us making ourselves look good or whatever. But humility is basically letting go of all of that and becoming like Jesus. You know, in Philippians we read, make my joy complete by being of the same mind, maintaining the same love, being united in spirit and intent on one purpose. Do nothing from selfish or empty conceit, but with humility of mind, regard one another as more important than yourselves. Do not look out for your own interests, but look for the interests of others. See, somehow that's a sort of fuller definition of what humility is like. It's not pushing ourselves down, but it's letting ourselves go and looking out for, you know, that wider perspective. And I really believe, you know, that when Jesus says we have to humble ourselves, what he's really saying is you've got to let go of how good you think you are. You've got to let go maybe of your ministry. You've got to let go of all the things that you've done out of performance and striving that have made you look good. And you've got to let go of all of that. And then you begin to live like Jesus lived. Then you begin to walk as Jesus walked. And, you know, it might not be easy, but I really believe that Jesus is giving us the keys here. You know, if you want to live in this, if you want a childlike heart, you've got to go through a radical turnaround. You've got to let go of yourself and all the things that you've tried to sort of build up that make you who you are. And that's the key for us to enter this childlike heart. And as we enter this childlike pathway, we suddenly begin to discover that we understand what the kingdom of heaven is like. And suddenly we see that all these things that we thought were impossible when we read those few verses in Proverbs, they actually become a little bit more possible, because it's not about us. It's about our Father living in us and allowing the transforming power of love to change us to be like Jesus. You know, the transforming power of Mark is hard work. You know, to maintain it and keep it going is hard work. But the transforming power of love, it takes away the striving and the dependence on my own self, my own energy, my own abilities. It brings me into that place of rest and peace. But it's a journey of living loved. You know, the childlike heart in its simplicity is that journey of living loved. And You know, my encouragement this evening is just very, very simple, is to allow our hearts to go through this radical turnaround so that we can let go of what we see as ourselves and step into a life of being loved. And as we are loved, as we know that God is being a father to us, it's that love that becomes the engine inside of us. Instead of our own striving, instead of our own performance, instead of our own desire to make ourselves look good, it's like love becomes the engine. And it's love that motivates or causes us to walk in his ways. It may not be easy, but it is the key to knowing the Father as Jesus knew him. It's the way into the life of rest. You know, for some, it was too hard. You know, when we look at the story of the rich young ruler, you know, he came to Jesus and he said, Jesus, you know, this is my paraphrase. He says, Jesus, I'm doing all the right things. I'm keeping the law. I've kept the law all my life. But what do I have to do to enter the kingdom? You know, what more do I have to do to enter the kingdom of heaven? Now, I think the rich young ruler in Mark chapter 10 had just been watching Jesus with the children, because the verses immediately preceding the rich young ruler, Jesus is taking a child and saying, this is the way, this is the only way to enter the kingdom of heaven. And I think this rich young ruler was watching that and he thinks, well, that's okay for them, but what about me? You know, he was so full of his self-importance, he was so full of his wealth and his riches and his position in society, he says, what have I got to do? You know, what's my, you know, what's the way for me? Yeah, I'm not like them. I don't need to become like a little child. What is it for me? And Jesus gives him a challenge. And we read in Mark chapter 10 that the rich young ruler couldn't do it. And he went away sad. And, you know, I think sometimes this offer to step into the kingdom, to embrace the kingdom, it's so simple, but it becomes too hard for people. Because the simplicity is so foreign to many, many people that they can't believe it's about living a life of love instead of living a life of performance. They can't believe it's not about them, but it's about what he's done for us. And although it's so incredibly simple, there's something inside of them that they can't grasp it. You see, this rich young ruler, he wasn't seeing with the eyes of his heart. He was saying, you know, I've done all the right things. What more have I got to do? And Jesus gives him the challenge and he goes away sad. But we read in Mark chapter 10 that Jesus looked on him and loved him. You know, even though he rejected what Jesus was giving him to do, Jesus still loves him. And, you know, for some people this is too hard, but it's radically simple. It's the only way for us to fully understand what the kingdom of heaven is all about. You know, I don't know about you, but I've done series in the past, the kingdom of God and money, the kingdom of God and marriage, the kingdom of God and children. You know, and I ask myself, what difference does it make? But actually, the kingdom of God is not about those things. They will be the fruit of a life that's lived in love. The kingdom of God is very simple. It's the kingdom of love. And for us to enter this kingdom of love, we need that radical turnaround that says, it's not about me. It's not about what I do. It's not about how I live. But it's simply knowing that, like a little child, I am loved. And I am totally dependent on my parents. I'm totally dependent on my Father. And it's, you know, that transformation in our hearts, it brings us into the relationship that Jesus had with the Father. That's what in Christ, I believe, is about. That's what sonship is. You know, sonship is having the same heart as Jesus. And, you know, we saw as Jesus, as a 12-year-old boy, he had that childlike simplicity that just amazed people. And he didn't lose it throughout his whole life. He, you know, the whole way through he lived as a child, just with that simplicity. And sonship, our sonship, is us walking as Jesus walked, as living as Jesus lived. And it's stepping into that childlike simplicity. And then we will discover that the kingdom of heaven is not like a bar of soap, but the kingdom of heaven is all about being loved and living in love and growing in living in love and allowing God to be a father to us. And when our lives are filled with that love, it will flow out of us and it will change the world around us. And so just simply, just as I close, I'd like to pray and just ask Father to open the eyes of our heart, that we would see that the only pathway of sonship, the only way to enter our sonship, the only way to walk as Jesus walked, is to come with a childlike heart. And so if that's what you'd like, just where you are now, wherever you are now, just open your heart. Just ask the Father to come and help you take that radical turnaround. You know, for some, we've already made that choice, but we can go deeper. You know, like I said at the beginning, we don't know that what we've got is incomplete until we experience something more. Wherever we are on our journey, what we have is incomplete, and there is always more. And I just want to encourage you to open your heart and invite the Father to give you the more. So, Father, we just thank you. We just thank you, Father, that the key to entering your kingdom is to come with a childlike heart. And Father, I want to thank you for what you've done in all of our lives. You know, Father, for the journey that you've taken us on into your love and into your heart. And for each one of us, that journey is so different. And Father, I thank you that you've taken us on that journey, that we're on that journey, that we're in the middle of that journey. And Father, I thank you that journey never ends, but that journey always goes on and there's always more. And just this evening, Father, as we're sitting in your presence, may we see with the eyes of our heart the simplicity of what it is to live with a childlike heart. And Father, may you draw us into that. May we not lean on our own understanding, but may we begin to lean on you, to rest on you, to rest in you. That, Father, we would fully receive the love and the life that you have for each one of us. Father, to come as a child is just to live in that relationship with you as Jesus lived and lives in that relationship with you. And Father, we just want to step into that relationship. We want to step deeper into that relationship with you right now. And just allow ourselves to be a little boy or a little girl being loved by our Heavenly Father. Just give yourself permission. Give yourself permission to be loved. Give yourself permission to come as a little boy or little girl who needs to be loved by a big dad. Give yourself permission to lay aside the striving and the performance. But it's all about him. It's all about the flow of his life into your heart. Right now. Right at this very moment, he's loving you. He's pouring his life. He's pouring his love into your heart. This isn't something we see with our minds like the rich young ruler. You know, what more have I got to do? This is something we see with our hearts. So Father, just pour your love into our hearts now. Hold us in your arms. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. Amen.